A community that knows itself takes care of itself. The stories of those who live in the Matsu Borough are as varied as the people themselves. Some you have heard. Some, perhaps, you have not. This is Voices of the Matsu, bringing our stories to life.
That's the corner of Alaska and Arctic and Palmer. Imagine you're standing there and you're trying to cross the street to go to the other side of town. Now close your eyes. Imagine you can't see. And listen again. Now look both ways. When is it safe to cross? Hi everyone, I'm Emily Forstner. And today's episode of Voices in the Matsu is called I Can't See You. Throughout this program, we talk a lot about community, the what's, the where's, the who's and why's of the smaller groups within the Matsu. And today we connect with another, one we may not see in part because in this community, they can't see you. Six senior citizens with vision loss share their stories with us, stories of loss and fear and tremendous resilience. And they share with us what they wish people knew more about what it's like to be visually impaired in the Matsu. Join me as we learn a little bit more about the lightness found in sharing the darkness in the Matsu Living Well with Impaired Vision community. And we begin with getting to know Jackie Olson.
Well, I'm the Matsu coordinator for the Alaska Center for the Blind, and I started this group in 2013, actually, 10 years ago. It's called Living Well with Vision Loss. I have one in Palmer, one at the Wasilla Senior Center, and I'm hoping to have one in Houston pretty soon.
Jackie and the Living Well group meet monthly at the Palmer Senior Center, on the first floor in the last conference room to your right. I set up a microphone in the next room, and through the wall, I can hear them laughing, saying hello. It's a lively group.
Well, I used to be a nurse in the Valley, and my mom went blind about 15 years ago after a stroke. And so I proactively looked, tried to find places, and I found the Alaska Center for the Blind, and we met a nice lady. She helped my mom get a lot of devices and training. And my mom improved and was able to live independently for a very long time. And then, believe it or not, the job just fell right in my lap. It was just, all of a sudden, she was moving, and they were like, hey, are you interested in this? And I said, sure. And so it went from a very part-time job up into a full-time job over the last 10 years.
In the United States, there are 500,000 blind Americans, with 50,000 more Americans identified each year. In Alaska, there are 18,000. Jackie says in the Matsu, she has 120 active clients in Living Well, and between 1 and 3 new clients sign up each week for the group. The majority are senior citizens. According to the Alaska Commission on Aging, the 60-year-old plus population gained 67% in the last 12 years. The 70-plus age group, 97% increase. And 85 and older, 57% increase. And Americans 65 years and older are 3 times more likely to have significant vision loss, or about 20% of all Americans. Bottom line, the one you might need reading glasses to see, vision loss, it's not out of sight for any of us. It happened to Marilyn Bennett at 50. She was living in Minnesota then.
When I was in my 50s, I went to the eye doctor because I was having some problems. And he said, oh my gosh, you have a blood clot in your left eye. And he sent me to a specialist up in Minneapolis. Well, as it turned out, it made me blind in the very center of my eye. And I was furious. I was so upset. It was hard for me to balance, to walk. It took me several weeks before I got used to the fact that I could only see out of one eye.
Marilyn's 82 now, though when you meet Marilyn, 82 years young is more like it. She is spry with a quick wit. Marilyn gets things done, you can just tell. She and her husband moved to the Mat-Su 5 years ago to be closer to family. And that's when her eyesight changed again.
And 3 years ago, all of a sudden, I started having problems with my right eye, which was my good eye. This time, I wasn't angry. I just accepted, well, maybe I'm going to go blind. I am 82. What the heck? No.
Marilyn joined the group earlier this year.
When I joined the blind group, I found out that there are so many resources in this area for blind people. And it has just been what it does is it made me feel like I'm not alone anymore.
The first thing I discover while talking with members of Living Well is that no two vision losses are alike. I meet with Chris. He comes into the room with his wife. He depends on her now to drive since he can't drive anymore. You can tell right away they work as a team. And it's very difficult for Chris to talk about losing his sight.
2 weeks before my 60th birthday, now 2.5 years ago, I had a stroke in the eyes. It was partially due to diabetic complications. Devastation. I can't drive anymore. So I'm stuck.
I also met with Martha. Martha's 60 years old. She looks to be about 5 foot tall on a good day and 4.5 feet tall on most days as she hunches over a four-wheeled walker, the kind that has a seat you can sit on if you want, and brakes. But there's a certain undeniable energy behind every step, and I have to wonder if Martha ever sits or uses the brakes. Martha moved to the Mat-Su in 2000. By her own account, her life wasn't very good right then. She bounced around a lot, made bad decisions, but in the end, it was grief that stole Martha's sight.
That all came about when my son, Cole, he was 15, he was in a four-wheeler accident in 2005 at Pittman and Parks, and the city bought him a sign there, and it says, "Please drive safe," in memory of Cole Mace Blakely. Well, after that, I kind of downward spiraled. And then one of the things I did, I used to have a nervous twitch, and that twitch was putting my hands in my eyes a lot. I wasn't able to express outward, so I inverted. When I lost my sight, the only way I can explain it the word is that I was paralyzed. I mean, straight, just paralyzed. Like, I couldn't move. I couldn't see TV. I couldn't see anything.
When I met Hugh, he was wearing an Army veteran hat. He said he served in the Korean War. I told him, just like my dad. And for a second, I couldn't help but think of my dad sitting across from me instead of Hugh. And at that moment, going blind suddenly felt a little more personal. Hugh said at first his vision was just gradually getting worse until one day it wasn't.
Going downhill. But I didn't realize that they could just overnight vanish. And that surprised me, to say the least.
Hugh moved to Alaska just 1.5 months after it became a state.
I can't say I was here, you know, for territory days. I can't brag about that.
He lived in Fairbanks when he first lost his sight, and people there gave him rides and whatnot. But he said it was just kind of bad.
And I hated to be beholding to other people, because I never had been. So this, you know, this was a new thing to me. And finally, I figured the best thing is just to sell my house, although I love my home. And I moved to Palmer. My daughter was gracious enough to allow me to move in.
When I meet Paul, he sits and cocks his head to his side as if to focus from an angle. Paul says his eyesight changes from day to day, even within the day. Sometimes he'll be able to see you, and the next day, not see the wall in front of him. Paul lost his sight when he was 7.
I didn't really notice it right off the bat.
So Paul's story is a little different. It started as a young man when doctors didn't know as much. They had him put a patch on his good eye to strengthen the bad eye. As you can imagine, that didn't really work.
In my teens, it started going, you know, and of course, in high school, you have the thick glasses, so everybody thinks you're ugly and stuff back then.
Until eventually, by the year 40, he couldn't drive. And then I meet Tiu. Tiu moved to the United States when she was 11 from Estonia after the war. She wears dark rectangular shades over her thick glasses and sits with a posture that would make any mother proud. Her speech is so precise, I can almost see the punctuation marks in the air. The word regal comes to mind. Tiu remembers almost to the day when she realized her sight wasn't coming back.
I didn't really know I had anything wrong except that I couldn't read. I couldn't see anything correctly. And I went to Dr. Wolf and he told me, because I was going in for cataract surgery, I thought I was going to get, it was because of cataracts. And he looked in my eyes and he said, I can't do anything for you because there's bleeding in your eye.
It's safe to say being blind complicates things, even more so when you've depended on lip reading most of your life. Because Tiu is also deaf. Although she didn't find that out until a college roommate and good friend told her.
She says, when I ask you questions and things, you answer off the wall. She said, nothing makes sense when you answer my questions. It's not even related to what I'm asking you about. And so she said, I think you're not hearing correctly. And that's when I found out that I was hearing impaired.
We all need friends like that, don't we? Losing your sight can be somewhat of a balancing act. One tip in any direction and you're off balance. Literally, off balance. I hadn't considered that until I got to know Paul and Tiu.
I can go out to the road from my house and I can't see my house. It's like if I'm out walking my puppies and I have to do something with them, I get turned around once in a while. And then if the lighting is just right, I couldn't tell you which right way I came and which way I'm going back. So then I have to look for clues.
And I have this thing too now, with the vision the way it is, I'm constantly kind of lightheaded. And I can't see where the dips are in the road when I'm walking. I know somebody suggested that I use a cane, but I'm not ready for that yet. So, but I'm very careful when I walk now, so I'm a lot slower. And sometimes people wish I was a little bit faster and, you know, get impatient.
Tiu describes herself as a loner. She says her shyness comes from the war and all. But joining the Living Well group and losing her sight more has pushed Tiu to come out of her shell.
You have to kind of have your own integrity, maintain your own identity, and make sure that you speak for yourself, speak up, let people know what you need. And that's what I've been doing these past 3 years anyway. I've learned to open up more.
You made me think that living with vision loss might be something like living in an escape room.
Every day after I lost my sight, seemed like new problems are always popping up. And quite often they're unexpected. I mean, it's just hard to explain.
Martha lost more than her balance after the final surgery on her right cornea, and then after that, when she lost her sight in her left eye.
I would try to pretend like I could see because I didn't want anybody feeling sorry for me. When I lost my eyesight, I think the thing that was hardest for me was that I lost who I was. I didn't know who I was anymore because I I was a go-getter. I mean, I didn't wait on anybody. If I asked somebody to do something and they didn't do it, I went and did it myself. I crocheted, I macrameed, I did door-to-door sales. I mean, I did all kinds of things, and that was all gone in an instant. And I had lost my self-respect and forgot who I was.
Imagine for a moment getting around the Mat-Su if you can't drive. The Mat-Su has one nonprofit transit service, the Valley Transit. If you're a senior, the Mat-Su Senior Services will take you with advanced reservations. There are three taxi companies working in the core area. It's possible to get around, but it's not easy. So for most people in the Mat-Su, driving is a given. For the blind, there is no give. Hugh never had any problems before losing his sight.
I could drive to the doctor, to the store, whatever, go on vacations. The change, especially not being able to drive, is a real bummer, to say the least.
Not driving can be okay when you have someone to drive you around, but when that someone no longer drives, as was the case with Martha.
And then my husband passed away, and I got really, really scared. I mean, I wouldn't even go into the store. I had isolated myself. I was terrified because I'd walked outside one time and couldn't get back home, and there was nobody. It was nighttime, and I was really, really scared.
The good news is advancements in ophthalmology have given Martha a second chance of sorts.
I've had a blessing moment, an opportunity that a visual place has given me a contact that's like looking through a fishbowl that makes it where I can see. Each time, this is like the fifth contact I got. I could see a rainbow. I could see the moon. I could see the trees. Not in detail, but like I told my sister, I said, look at how beautiful that is. She says, it's just a tree, Martha. I said, you don't understand.
And then there's the whole shopping thing. Can you imagine?
I have to have someone help me. I cannot see a label on a can, so I don't know if it's a soup, beans, fruit, or what. I can't see it. I could, you know, vegetables, I can, you know, see some, you know, because they're out there. They're, you know, different colors and stuff, but I'm losing color blindness too. But the package stuff, I couldn't tell you any of it. So I have to have someone help me get stuff. And the stores are pretty happy, you know, because they'll, you know, if I'm there by myself and get dropped off or something like that, I can go up to customer service and tell them I need help, and they'll assign someone to help.
Traveling. That's what TU misses.
And I used to love to travel a lot. Airports, because the open spaces, they affect my vision somehow. And I can't read the signs up at the airport, so I don't know which gate to go. I can't keep track of whether my flight was canceled on the screens that they have up. And then standing in line and, you know, being jostled and in crowds, it's really hard. It's just the helplessness that I feel at airports and new places. When you go to new places, it's really hard.
Really hard. And Paul says it's hard when you think vision loss might be avoided.
If you get your blood sugar and diabetes where it goes really sky high, you can lose 90% of your eyesight in a week. In fact, I got a friend that did that. He's out partying, drinking, and all of a sudden, a week later, you couldn't see. Take care of your eyes, no matter what. Because you only got one set, and they can't do all, you know, they can sew them up, but they can't get your vision back.
For Martha, it's hard living with the grief.
The one thing about losing your sight, it's like losing a friend or a family member, the grief process that comes with it that I didn't recognize for many years. I didn't recognize what was going on inside of me, you know, my thoughts and all of that. But it is, it's a grieving process because I've lost something that I can never get back. And I just want people to know that your vision is the most precious gift that you could ever receive. You know, if I had to choose between sight, talk, and ears, you know, I would want to keep my sight, you know.
Jackie says it's these hard parts that are her reason behind the Living Well with Vision Loss community.
Part of my job is to do home visits with my clients, and many of them, after losing their vision, became almost shut-ins. Their circle of friends and social accessibility became very small. So I wanted a group where I could provide some education and maybe some socialization for my people. And so that's how it started, and it's turned into, I don't like to call it a support group, but they're all friends now. They help each other and care about each other. And sometimes, some of them tell me it's the only place they go all month.
It's a good group there. We talk, we laugh, we have fun. It gets me out of the house, and it lets me know that I can actually try and do a few things. I mean, it takes me a lot longer than it used to. I'm not afraid to try and do things now.
It's a hoot. You know, you get to talk with people who have the same problems and stuff, and then you get a tell everybody, you know, what your experience is on some of this stuff. And sometimes you've had more experience with this piece of equipment or, you know, more with that one. And so everybody gets to, you know, talk back and forth and banter of what's good for them and what might be good for you, but try it out.
Thank all of the people that work with this blind group, and because there are so many resources now. If you're going to be blind, do it now. No, if I had gone blind, when you think about it, if our parents had gone blind, they had no resources there at all. So we're very lucky to be in this time.
Just when you think you're the one giving, you realize you've received the most in the exchange. That's the thing about it. I asked Jackie how the group has changed her.
I am so much more aware of visually impaired people. I can spot them in a crowd now like you wouldn't believe. But it's mostly changed my life in just the relationships I've built with these people and watching them succeed. A lot of them I find at the lowest point in their life. And if you can hear them next door, they're very happy, fulfilled, productive people now. And a lot of times they just needed somebody to just show them what was available and just be there to listen. And really, then they just blossom in front of me. So it's very rewarding in that regard.
TU has but one wish.
So I'm not totally dependent yet. Hopefully I'll remain that way to the end of my days here.
Oh, TU, I don't think you have to worry about that.
I want people to know that it's not the end of your life. You can, with assistance and training, do anything you want to do. I have people downhill skiing, cross-country skiing. I have people that do anything they want to do. I have a lot of people working. I still have a lot of artists. I have clients who taught themselves guitar after they lost their vision. I have a man who became a rodeo champion after he lost his vision. So these groups help provide that some of those people will start setting an example, and everybody will follow them, and they realize that really with patience and adaptive technology and a little training, they can do whatever they want to do.
And it's really wonderful because now I'm starting to feel like a part of the community again, you know? And that's amazing. It is amazing. I don't feel like I'm just sitting and waiting to die anymore. I can be a part of, you know? And it's okay. I have to deal with what's gone on with me, and I accept it. And once I have accepted it, life is so much easier. I'm not afraid to walk outside anymore, you know, and I'm not afraid to ask anybody for help anymore.
The Greek god Tiresias was blind, but that is not what defines him. Instead, it is his wisdom. I can see you a little better now. Look both ways. Hold hands. It's safe to cross. Author Brené Brown says rarely does a response make something better. She says what makes it better is making connections. And we hope today you've been able to do just that with the Living Well Group. Those wanting to know more about living well with vision loss in the Mat-Su, contact info@alaskabvi.org and ask for Jackie Olson. Or ask for Martha. I'm sure she could help you too. And that's it for today's episode for Voices of the Mat-Su. Special thanks to all the Living Well with Vision Loss group and to Ellen Newfer, Karen Trope of KTNA in Talkeetna, and my daughters Katie and Tess for their guidance and support. If you have a story to share or know of someone who does, contact us at voices@bigcabbageradio.org. Until next time, it's been nice getting to know each other a little bit more. Thanks for listening. Keep being good to each other, Mat-Su.
This was Voices of the Mat-Su, sharing stories told by those who live in the Mat-Su borough. To revisit this and past stories, go to bigcabbageradio.org. This project is funded by a grant from the Mat-Su Health Foundation and is produced by Emily Forstner for Big Cabbage Radio. The views expressed in Voices of the Mat-Su do not represent the views of Big Cabbage Radio or the Mat-Su Health Foundation. Comments or questions about this show may be sent to voices@bigcabbageradio.org.